See, how many of you, when you think of the playgrounds of your life, there was happiness, laughter, joy? Okay. For the people whose hands aren't up, there's also the possibility that playgrounds were a place where you were bullied, where you were left out, where because you couldn't catch a ball, you were left out of the games. But there were still swings, and there were still monkey bars, and there were still other things. So when I use the word playground this morning, I want you to think of it as being something you love, something that brings you joy. In the playground, you have joy. And joy is one of the attributes of the divine. Joy is God's nature. So it's natural for you to feel joy in your life. And your life is your playground. And it's really up to you what you do in it. It's what up to you who you invite in to play with you, or whether you go there by yourself to contemplate or to complain or to feel sorry for yourself. It really is up to you, because your playground is yours. It belongs to you. No one else can come except by you, by your invitation. No one else can come into your playground except by your invitation. So there are no bullies there unless you invited them. There are no mean people there. There are no boring people there. There's only what brings you joy, because it's your playground. It's your playground. So, of course, this is on top of one of our comedians took his life this last week. He brought a lot of joy. Robin Williams brought a lot of joy to so many people. He was part of our playground. And yet in his playground, there was not light. I just want to acknowledge this is a fact. And one of the best things I read, and I'm not going to read it to you, but I will post it on my Facebook page and the center's Facebook page, was a piece written by someone else who suffered deep depression, who said, everybody is saying they're so surprised and they can't understand. I can understand. The monster got closer. So what I want us to realize is, if we decide to only have what we love, then we have to recognize that there are people in our life that cannot come there with us. And so we go with compassion and love and tenderness, sending that to them, and still say, my choice for my life is joy. My choice for my life is compassion. My choice for my life is connection with others. So the playground that you are in, what is in it? And what kind of games are you playing there? There's a wonderful, I don't even know how old this book is, but it's Florence Shovel Skin. Just a minute, I'll get it right. And she wrote a book and a trilogy of books called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And the one thing she starts with in the very first book is, most people that think that if you're talking about games, you're here to win a game. And she says it's not about winning the game of life at all. It's about knowing how to play it. It's about knowing how to play it. And I believe that's true for us in whatever we're doing in life. Is, do you know how to connect with other people in this game of life? But more importantly, do you know what your thoughts, what your words, what your essence is creating for you? What it's bringing to you? So this game of life, and this little book is filled with example after example after example of people who used mental science, used the science of mind, although I'm sure she called it something else, use to think about what they wanted to bring about, to change their lives, to make their lives better, happier, freer. Example after example after example. Ordinary people, everyday people, saying, just a minute here, I want to be happy. I want to make a difference. I want to live life fully. And by thinking correctly, by putting their attention, their passion on what they do want, it came about. This last week on, I'm doing it, my 2 days off, so I have, I'm part of my, partly I took the Thursday off, but anyway, I went to the movies on Thursday, which I'm not going to tell you much about this movie except to say go see it. It's called The 100-Foot Journey. Who's already seen it? It is absolutely delightful movie. It's a delightful movie. And it is about people being fully involved in life, playing the game of life, deciding that it doesn't matter what has happened up until now, that there's always room for growth. There's always room for growth. It's such a delightful movie, and it reminded me, because one of the actors, as a young boy and as a grown man, is extremely good-looking Indian man with eyelashes about 2 inches long. And I thought about when how things catch your attention. When my mom was sick in the hospital a couple of years ago and I stayed in Canada, there's one doctor came in to talk to us about her prognosis and what we needed to do. And he was very good looking with eyelashes 2 inches long. And he finished telling us everything, and my sister was nodding like this. I knew she wasn't hearing a thing. She wasn't. She didn't hear one thing. She was just mesmerized by this beauty of this man, which was pretty mesmerizing, I have to admit. But you know where she went? In her mind, here's this fabulous guy, and now in her fantasy, and I won't go any further, because you know what her fantasy would have been. Girls, you all know. So she wasn't present for the prognosis, but thankfully, I was present. So when we went, she said, are you sure he said that? Yes, I'm sure he said all of that. So in this playground of life, it actually starts there. It starts with a desire, which may be a fantasy, something that you think is out of the world, impossible, but it's something that you desire. It's what you desire. And so that thing that you desire, that you would love, taken into your consciousness, becomes a sprout in your life. It becomes evident, and it will not show up. It will not show up in its full-grown form. You know this. An acorn doesn't look anything like an oak tree. And yet and when it first sprouts, it probably still doesn't look like an oak tree. The same with the ideas you're planting. They probably don't look like exactly what you have in mind yet. But if you're true to yourself and keep nurturing those sprouted ideas, it will be your experience. It will be your experience. What stops us? What stops us from having this delightful playground and living in it fully? What stops us? Fear. Fear does stop us. Fear does stop us. When we're afraid of anything, what we're really saying is, I believe this thing is more true than the thing I want. I give it more belief. I give it more power, the thing that I want. So fear keeps us from experiencing it. And another thing that keeps us from experiencing the good is any kind of emotional separation from other people. Anytime we have anger or judgment or blame about someone else or ourselves, it stops us from growing and nurturing those sprouts. It stops us. The God of love cannot hear the one who fails to love. My favorite quote, page 299 of the textbook. The God of love, God is love. So if we fail to love, then we are not going to be experiencing this great good. So that calls us, to, if we're going to really enjoy our playground, to be unconditionally loving. And I read this week a couple of things about unconditional love. And one thing is when we say, I love you unconditionally, is the person that we're saying it to believing it, or are they saying, what if I grow fat? What if I grow old? What if I stop listening to you? What if I'm unkind? You see, unconditional means unconditional, without conditions. Can you love unconditionally? Can you love yourself unconditionally, even when you make mistakes, even when you don't live up to your own expectations? What I know is you can. And I know that our animal friends often are the best teachers of unconditional love. And I heard a story that I've heard before, and I love this story. It's about a dog called Lucky. Lucky was the woman of the house was her dog. And he'd tolerate the other people in the house, but was her dog. And he was kind of a rascal dog. If people came to visit and had a suitcase, he would for sure go in the suitcase and take something out, take it downstairs to his play box, and put it in the as a toy. It was like a souvenir. So she would have to tell all the people that visited, keep your suitcases closed and locked, because the dog will come in, Lucky'll come in, and he'll take things. And sure enough, if anyone didn't do that, Lucky would come in and take a trophy, a pair of socks, or who knows what, but take something down to his toy box. But Lucky loved this woman, and she got sick. And when she got sick, she came home from the hospital very depressed. She didn't want to walk him anymore. She didn't have the strength, but neither did she have the desire. And he couldn't understand. So she went to bed on the couch and talked to him, said, I'm not mad at you, Lucky. You're still my good boy. And a few hours later, she woke up. There were all these things on top of her chest. She was thinking, oh my gosh, I can hardly breathe. And she opened her eyes, and every single one of Lucky's toys was on her or around her. He had brought them all up from the basement to share with her because he loves her. And honestly, we do that, don't we? When we love, we share. When we love, we share. We share our good, we share our toys, we share ourselves. So in this playground, you get to decide. You get to decide what the good is, what it is that you're going to be doing there, what you're going to be enjoying, what you're going to be experiencing. I know some of you have been to him. There's a laughing guru in Laguna Beach, right? Who's been there? Some people, raise your hand so I know. It's a guy who just laughs, teaches you how to laugh. I know that Patrick, who isn't here this morning, was there often, went to the laughing guru who taught laughing yoga, laughter yoga. Well, what good would that be? What good would that be? When you're laughing, you're telling your mind that all is well. When you're laughing, there's no care attached. If you think back to when you were a kid and you were enjoying something, it was so much fun, either with others or by yourself. It was so much fun. It was your just greatest thing, happiest time to be. There would have been laughter at that time. One of the TED Talks was about the importance of laughter and the importance of play for adults. And in this TED Talk, he pointed out that in the 1500s, in today, if you look at play, it's children. In the 1500s, paintings of play included adults and kids, and everybody was playing. Everybody. What's happened to us? What have we given up? And when are we going to reclaim it? I say today's a good day. Today's a great day. Why not today? Why not today? So, So I'm going to close by telling you this story. First of all, you know that my mom, she won't see this because, anyway, for other reasons, but she'll probably still hear it. You know, she thinks it's going to be Christmas. I'm going to visit her next week. I leave on next Monday, a week from Monday. And she's counting the days. It's like a kid. There are 10 more days until you get here. And I'm thinking, you're putting a lot of stress on me, Mom, a lot of pressure. I don't think I can make it Christmas for you. But I don't have to. She's losing her eyesight and her hearing. But just as I remember my grandma, she could always hear the important things. My grandma could hear. She was pretty deaf. But, boy, if you said one swear word, right there, she heard it. If you did anything, she heard it. So those wonderful senses that parents and grandparents have. Anyway, so I want to close with this story. There was an old guy, well into his 90s, and he had gradually been going deaf, and now he was completely deaf. Completely deaf, and had been for a few years. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, we've got this wonderful, wonderful way we can implant something in your ear, and it will restore your hearing. So he said, well, let's try it, doc, or, you know, wrote it, or whatever, however they communicated. So it was successful, and a month later, he comes back to the doctor's office, and the doctor says, well, what does your family think of your perfect hearing? He said, I didn't tell them. They don't know. The doc said, what? He said, yep. I've been just pretending can't hear a thing. I've changed my will 3 times already. Okay, those are the squeals of laughter that I'd love to hear from you all week, because life is your playground. And so it is.